Well, good morning. Welcome back to the God School. This morning, I'm going to let you listen in as I preach to myself. I've been a long time in this Christian journey, this journey which is a journey of faith. There are words in God's Word which, if allowed to be effective, will help us, help me continue as a current battle that I'm involved with. Attempts to break that which connects me to God and connects you to God. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "But though the outward man perish, yet the inward man," and the proper translation is, "being renewed day by day." For our light affliction, Paul says, and boy, you want to talk about a hero of faith, and you want to talk about a man that was by trial and tribulation tested by God like few others. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, eternal." And Paul goes on in the 7th verse of the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians and says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." I want you to turn this morning to the 34th Psalm. I want to take a minute to give some background, or a few minutes, to give some background to this man, David, who is described by God as a man after his own, that is, God's own heart. You know, he's a young man. He's out tending his father's sheep, gets called in by Samuel, not a likely candidate, but nonetheless anointed by God to be king over Israel. We see him a little later bringing bread and cheese to his family, who are arrayed for battle. being assaulted by Goliath and the army of the Philistines. This fresh anointing, which is a sign, anointing of oil, which is a sign of the Holy Spirit, gives this kid such courage that he makes that proclamation. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine which assaults the people of Israel? And he declares he's ready for battle. And, you know, the company that surrounded him at that time said, well, you know, David, you got to go do, if you're going to go to battle, you got to go do it our way. And they attempt to put Saul's armor on him, and it doesn't fit. And look, he has the anointing of God on him. And you all know the story. He takes a stone, and with one stone, he takes five stones, because tradition has it that Goliath had four brothers, but he takes one stone with one sling and kills Goliath and cuts off his head. What an act of faith! And as we read on, how is this hero of faith rewarded? He's hunted like a dog by Saul, king of Israel, like a dog. And into that context, David finds himself at the cave of Adullam. I want you to understand something. The introduction to Psalm 34 in your King James Bible was not given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai, and I don't know where the publishers and or translators came up with this introduction, but there is no doubt through scholarship that this psalm was written by David at the cave of Adullam, surrounded by 400 men who are described as in distress, in debt, discontented. Anointed king, hunted like a dog. A vehicle of miracles of God as he killed that giant with one stone. And in that context, or with that context, let's listen to David as he speaks, not only to be heard by all those who were discontent, who were in debt, and who were distressed, but also by the Lord himself. And he says, I will bless the Lord at all times, at all times, even in the midst of this condition which seems to contradict and deny that action of God where he has David anointed king of Israel, and here he is in a cave hiding out, and says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Humble, those whose heads are bowed because of the understanding it is not of them that the victory comes, but of God. And David goes on to say, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, that is God, and were lightened. And their faces were not ashamed, regardless of their condition, discontent, in distress, in debt, looking to the Lord. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's telling these. He's not only telling this group of, as Dr. Scott used to put it, these snaggletooth discontents, but he's affirming that which he knows of God. And he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. That word is hasah, and it means to flee for refuge. I'm reminded of Deuteronomy 33, which says, not only as thy days, so shall thy strength be, but that the eternal God shall be thy refuge. He's there. He's with us, in spite of what circumstance may be. That word, blessed, that's a word that, you know, we've expounded on out of Psalm 84. It's Eshri. It's speaking of a man. It's speaking of the state of condition of a man. That state of being will not be changed. He was anointed king, David. It sure didn't look like it. He goes on to say, "Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want." An alternative is, there is no lack to them that fear him. I'm going to spend just a moment expounding on some words. In verse 4, it says, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." That word delivered, the picture is snatched. Just right out snatched. David is putting the future in the past tense. That's a statement of faith. It says, "and delivered me from all my fears." This word speaks of terror. What's putting you in distress? What's making you discontent? I'm talking to myself, folks. I hope some of it spills over to you. This word in the fourth verse, translated fears, it's terror. What's terrorizing you? The Lord has delivered me from all that's terrorizing me. The sixth verse says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." This word being translated here, saved, means to get victory, to be open. To be open wide, free, secure. Saved him out of all his troubles. This word is a picture of tightness, of the adversary pressing in, as being pressed by the adversary and by circumstance that seem contrary to the promise of God. And David says, "This poor man cried unto the Lord, and he set him in an open space and delivered him out of all that was pressing in on him." The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Now, it's not the same word that's in the fourth verse. This word is a yare, and it has to do, and this is why study of the word brings more confidence. You know, so many preachers, so-called, speak of the fear of the Lord as though we're supposed to be, you know, trembling with fear. or being terrorized, if you will, by our Father. No, no, no. The word is yare. It means to be reverent. It means to revere. It means to hold in highest esteem. How great is our God? A third time in this same song, David says in the 17th verse, the King James says, the righteous, you know, it's added by the translators. David just says, cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them. That are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. We often are confronted by circumstance in this life, by associates, by loved ones, that would break our heart, and we come to an understanding, as it says in the second verse, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humbles shall hear. This is that of a contrite spirit that looks unto God for deliverance. In the 19th verse, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now, we know that the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And no longer is it by performance of the law that we obtain righteousness, but righteousness by faith, that which God gives, his righteousness. And it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. When we began this journey in faith, grabbing hold of a promise of God, as David, when he was anointed king, was encouraged and was enlightened by the Spirit of God and was willing to take on all comers who opposed that relationship with God. And it says here, many are the afflictions the word to expound many bad things, evil things, things of disagreement, malignant things, displeasing things, worse, and by comparison, worse than other afflictions. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I want you to be encouraged. I'm trying to encourage myself. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. It says in the 21st verse, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The reverse of that says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Same word in the 21st verse translated desolate as in the 22nd. Different outcomes. Interestingly enough, the word being translated desolate in both these verses, the Hebrew word is asham. And what it says is, they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. They shall be guilty. They shall be liable to punishment. They'll be ashamed. They'll be condemned. They'll be punished. They'll incur guilt. But those that trust in the Lord, those that trust in him, none of them shall be guilty, shall be liable to punishment, shall be judged as guilty, shall be ashamed, shall be condemned. Shall incur guilt. We find later on in David's life, and it says, many are the afflictions, that his own son, Absalom, his favorite son, that one who held the most privileged place in his heart, rebelled against his father. And David, we see him fleeing Jerusalem, and he's fleeing to a place called Mahanaim, first referred to in the life of Jacob, as he is coming back to the promised land and has every thought that his brother Esau is going to kill him, and he divides up his family and his belongings that Esau might not destroy them all at once. The place is called Mahanaim. It's translated two hosts. A place of two hosts. The one we see and the one we don't see. The one we see, earthly circumstance. The one we don't see, that angel of the Lord, which encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them in doing this, and I don't know if you're getting encouraged by this, but I have to tell you, I am. In the second book of Kings, in the sixth chapter, we find the prophet Elisha. In a circumstance the 14th verse, says, therefore he sent thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God, that's Elisha, was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And he saw this host, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? What shall we do, if you will? Surrounded by the enemy. And Elisha, the man of God, the prophet of God, answered and said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. This promise of God. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. As David went to that place of promise, circumstance on one side, and a host of circumstance on the other side, and host of God's army on the other side, we who live by faith and not by sight can claim that promise. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And that's the God school for today. Before I close, I have a personal note to those of you who have participated in the God School over these many years, or who are just beginning to be students at the God School, I want to hear from you. Look, God brought us together. And if this preacher is helping to helping your faith that you might continue, working and acting on all the promises of God, which are in him, that is, in Jesus Christ. That is where God has placed his sons and daughters. That's the good news of the gospel, that we are in Christ Jesus. If I've encouraged you, your response should be to encourage this teacher. I'm going to continue on regardless. But it would be good for you to respond. Not only to this message today, but whenever the light of God's Word is brought forth and your faith might be strengthened. That's the God School for today.